Tonight, our next teller, Karen Haas, she's a wonderful, she has great diversity in the kinds of stories that she tells. She tells a lot for Inquiring Mind, assuming the persona of real women from history, Narcissa Whitman and others, and does a beautiful job in relating their lives and not just the historical facts, but the true persona that comes across in her telling. And so I said, so what are you going to do tonight, Karen? She said, well, you know, times are a little grim. And I agreed with her there. And she said, so I think we'll have a bit of froth. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm always up for a bit of froth. Please welcome Karen Haas.
Call her Auntie. place there. And there were only two houses in that whole town that had any light. One was a huge house right in the middle of town, and each and every window was ablaze with candlelight. The other was a teeny little, almost shack on this edge of town. Out of its one window, you could see just the flicker of a tiny little oil lamp. And Joseph said, well, let us go to the big house. I'm sure there's room for us there. Well, Mary didn't remind him that in all of Bethlehem there wasn't room for him. Instead, she just nodded, and he urged the donkey forward and knocked at the door of that big house, and the door was flung open by an old woman with such a frown etched into her face. She had half moons on either side of her mouth. It was just permanent, like the Grand Canyon. And she looked at him and said, what do you want? Joseph said, shelter. We seek shelter. Well, I'm not an innkeeper. And he said, well, my wife and child, they're so tired and exhausted. Well, can't you see I have guests? Go and mooch up someone else. And she slammed the door in the face. Joseph walked back to the donkey and his wife, and she didn't tell him I told you so. She just smiled and nodded, and he said, well, maybe the small house will have room for the likes of us. And he urged the donkey forward, and they went to the other side of town, knocked on that little house door, and it was opened by a woman with such a warm and ready smile that immediately they felt almost rested. And she said, oh, come in, come in. I am but a poor widow, and I have little, but what I have is yours. And they went in the house, and all there was a bed and a stool and a spinning wheel. But she got them all tucked into her bed, and she said, well, you coming here is the perfect excuse for me to work through the night, which I really should be doing. And she sat down, and the whole family fell asleep, lulled by the spinning of the wheel. And when they woke up the next morning, she shared her meager breakfast with them. And as they were heading out, Mary turned to her and said, we thank you for your kindness to us. And as our way of saying thanks, whatever you wish for first today, that you will have. Now, the widow thought this was a very strange way to give thanks, but she smiled and waved as they rode on. And as soon as they were gone, she went back inside, and all thoughts of her guests just flew from her head. Oh, work, she said. Always more work to do. Well, if I'm going to have something to eat. I wish I could spin the finest wool in all the world, but, well, the beggars were horses, and I am glad that I can work to provide for myself. And she sat down. Strangely, as the wheel started spinning, why, it seemed to almost glow. And from the spin, the light, she realized she was spinning yarn, the likes of which she had never seen or felt before. It was just so wonderful. And she kept spinning all that day and the rest of that week. And the next week, when she went to market, oh, she fetched a big price for this wondrous yarn. And this went on for a while. And soon she started making quite a bit of money. Not enough so she was really rich, but very comfortable. Meanwhile, remember her friend on the other side of town? She kept watching how that widow woman, who had been so poor all her life, was suddenly having money. She couldn't figure out why, and she went to ask, how is it that you've always had this new and she ran upstairs and downstairs from room to room trying to figure out how to best use this wig. And finally she said, oh, I need to sit down and think. I could think better with a good cup of tea. She went down to the kitchen, she went to brew, but realized she'd left the water jug at the well. And she said, oh, how foolish of me. I wish I had that jug right here. Well, there was a whoosh, it came right through the window, and that was the last wish that old woman ever had granted. Now, you seem to be a very responsive group. So I'm going to have you help me tell this next tale. It used to be that when storytellers were telling, the audience quite often would join in. It wasn't like, oh, we sit there and we watch TV and movie and they feed it to us. No, they had special lines that would repeat and people would join in. So I'm sure you'll realize which are the ones that repeat, and you're sharp enough, you'll know when they come in. I have to say that there was once an old woman who lived in a vinegar bottle. One day, a fairy was going past and she heard the old woman's voice. Quite forgot to thank the fairy. And the fairy went north.
Thank you. Karen Haas, ladies and gentlemen. Karen Haas.